This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
On September 16, 2009, British Columbia's Ministry of Children and Family Services sent a letter about changes to funding for autism programs. It informed parents whose children were enrolled in an early intensive behavioral intervention program that the program was ending. Funds have been used to provide EIBI services for approximately 70 to 75 children. We're now going to be distributed among a much larger group of children with autism spectrum disorders.
In the weeks that followed that announcement, parents rallied across the province to protest the changes to autism funding and to demand that funding for EIBI be continued. Two of those mothers, both mothers of children with autism, are Cher Sherwood from Victoria and Samantha Warden from Kamloops. The two joined us on a People First radio broadcast in October 2009, and we're going to touch base with Cher Sherwood and Samantha Warden again today. They join us on the phone. Welcome to People First Radio, Cher and Samantha.
Hi, thank you.
Cher, maybe we can start with you. What has happened in the 3 months since we last spoke with you back in October?
Well, regretfully, the minister has not reversed her decision to end the program. So that is very disheartening. We've had several rallies, I think, since the last time we talked. And, I mean, there just doesn't seem to be the awareness out there. And we've tried really hard to reach people. And so that's what we're doing here again on your show, trying to get people to step up and write letters and phone the ministry demanding a reversal of this decision, which, you know, actually won't cost her a cent to reverse. So,
when you say, Cher, it won't cost her a cent to reverse, explain that a little further.
Okay, well, Minister Polak, she could continue to fund the EIBI program tomorrow without costing the BC taxpayers any money or putting pressure on BC's deficit. She could... She would have to come up with $1.6 million out of her $1.4 billion budget to keep her promise of increased funding for children not in an EIBI program. So numerous studies show that EIBI saves millions of dollars per child in future health, education, and social services costs. So you look at a place like Minnesota, where they've had an operational EIBI program running for 10 years, and it has cost them no money. It has saved them $1 billion. So we personally handed this information over to Minister Polak in a meeting, and I don't know what she has done with that information. I don't know if she just doesn't believe it or what, but she has no credible answer as to how it is good fiscal management to cancel rather than keep or expand a program with such proven cost savings. So, you know, she has said that this is not a budget cut, or that it was a budget cut, and it's not. It's a program cut, and she really has just shuffled her budget. She hasn't cut the money. Did that explain your question?
Well, Cher, one of the things that I read online, and this was at Maureen Karagiannis' website. She's the MLA for Esquimalt Royal Roads. She's also the New Democrat critic for Children and Family Development. She said in a news release dated December the 4th, 2009, and posted to her website that Government Minister Mary Polak has changed her story about the rationale for the program cut more than once, and I'm wondering if either you and or Samantha could speak more to that. Are you aware of the various reasons that have been given over time? And there was a particular mention of a letter and VHA.
Well, she started out by saying that that EIBI program didn't show appreciable differences in the children. And, you know, so we handed her quite a lot of extensive research showing her that that's just not true. So she had to revoke that statement to the media. and she has pretty much just gone on the argument of equity, that that by closing down the program, she's able to increase funding for children with autism to each child by $2,000, which is it's when you look at how much these services cost, it's not a solution at all, especially for the people that don't live anywhere near the centers. You know, they're not actually going to get more services, so that money is just going to be sitting there. It's not actually going to be getting used. So, you know, for us, when we look at her argument of that it's fair to by shutting down the program and divvying up that money amongst the autistic children, it's just autism is it's a spectrum disorder, and there is a vast difference in the severity of symptoms. You know, between the children, they all experience different symptoms. So she cannot honestly believe that giving equal funding to children with a spectrum disorder is fair, right? You know, some kids need less hours of intensive behavior therapy, and some kids need, you know, a minimum of 20, and that's the bottom line, and it's not enough hours. So
Samantha Warden, you're on the phone with us today from Kamloops. How would you, Samantha, describe your experiences with the political response to the work that you've done to protest this funding cut?
I strongly believe, like, I don't believe that we have made any progress with them. I don't believe that they are listening to our questions and our concerns and our facts. You know, we've sent them emails, and every response we get back from embattled Minister Mary Polak is looks like just copy and paste letters. Everybody's getting the same ones. It doesn't seem like they're taking the time to answer our questions one by one.
Yeah, that has been very frustrating. Just you know, the our concerns as parents of children with special needs to be, and the letters are passed off. They're not even coming from her. They're written on her behalf. And, they're copied and pasted. And it's a slap in the face, you know, for us as, citizens of, you know, BC. We're just, no one's taking the lives and the futures of our children seriously, and especially coming from the Ministry of Children and Family Development. I mean, it's the irony is certainly not lost on me, that's for sure.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Brad, sitting in for Jan today, and I'm here in the studio with Kevin. We're speaking with Cher Sherwood and Samantha Warden, who are mothers of children with autism and participants in activism by mothers protesting the BC Liberal government's cuts to autism programming. On January 31st, 2010, the province will cease funding in an early intensive behavioral intervention program that has been shown to help autistic children and reduce long-term costs to the medical, mental health, education, and social services systems.
Cher, tell us more about the benefits of the EIBI program. Your sons Everett and I believe Crofton as well have been involved?
Yes. Crofton, when he started at the Queen Alexandra Center for Children's Health, they have run the EIBI program, the Early Intensive Behavior Intervention program. He was 19 months old when he came in, very nonverbal, extremely aggressive. Just his sensory issues were so out of control. His meltdowns, you know, as a mother, I was very discouraged and, you know, wondered if this child was ever going to be potty trained or be able to feed himself. I mean, at the time, he wouldn't even hold a cup by himself. And, you know, would he move out and get a job and be able to be a member of society? And this program, at the 20 hours a week since he was 19 months old, has completely changed his life. He's a delightful little boy. He's not aggressive. He's considerate. He knows, he understands his emotions. He knows when he's hurt someone's feelings. He's a very typical little boy. People, if they meet him today, they don't believe he even has autism. And that's a direct result due to getting him a very early assessment and very, very early intervention. So, for me personally, I mean, my 3-year-old he's in preschool now without a one-on-one worker, without a worker, and Crofton has entered kindergarten on par and on time with his peers, and he's doing fantastic. So the program itself is run by people who have had an incredible amount of training, and they have extensive experience working with specifically autism. So when you shut down a program like this and then expect the parents to go out into the community and sort of build their own program, you know, there's no one regulating how much training and education, and there's no regulation. So there's entirely too much room for error. And for us as parents of FAIR, Fighting Autism Intervention Reductions, that is unacceptable. We've watched in our transition meetings with Mary Polak's senior autism advisor, we've watched her, you know, sit back and try and come up with a new plan for these kids on what they can do with their $22,000 for their children as far as receiving services go. So they'll have gone from about 20 hours a week from this program down to most people, I believe, would be getting about 7 to 8 hours of intervention a week. It's not all one-on-one intervention. And if you need something like for me personally, my kids, they were both born tongue-tied. So, yeah, they still need speech and language, intervention. But when I look at, okay, I have $22,000 now to build my own program for these kids, I will not go with the speech because it's the behavior that is the issue for my kids. So parents are left in the dark, picking and choosing what is the most important thing for their child to get intervention on and help with. And there's too many holes in their system. So I've sat back and watched, you know, parents go into their transition meeting with questions, and the minister, her advisor would say, you know, well, your child needs SLP. Well, yeah, well, I can't afford it, and it's not priority. Well, that's not acceptable. Well, yeah, but the $22,000 is not going to pay for these children's therapy. So to us, we're just sitting back, scratching our heads, going, you know, she could reverse this decision today. She could turn around. It will not cost her one penny to put this program back in existence.
Cher, I'm wondering if we could just step back to Samantha. And Samantha, how is Regan doing?
He's doing amazing. Just the other night, he actually walked up to me and asked for a book and walked over to his dad and said, "Daddy, read," and climbed up on his lap. Mm. 6 months ago, before this program, he couldn't even get him to sit on your lap long enough to even read three sentences off of a page. He put a hard hat on his little brother's head and went, "Ta-da, that's cute." He's developing an imagination now and can actually play. 6 months ago, for him to say plane, he'd say play. Now he says airplane and actually pretends to drive them up in the air and all over the place. He's potty trained now, and we never thought that would ever happen, considering, you know, we didn't know how to do it, and, you know, he couldn't communicate when he could go to the bathroom, and now he goes all by himself.
Samantha.
That's a real concern for families, too. You know, if you take away the ability for these kids to speak, you know, I mean, just in the news is that tragedy of the little boy who was lost in the woods, you know, and how do you explain to a child that it's dangerous to run off, and you know that it's dangerous, and how do you explain to a child how to call for help? How do you explain to a child what his phone number is when they can't speak?
Samantha, I'm wondering, what is the impact going to be, do you suppose, on Regan? Have you been thinking about that, and what are you going through as this program comes to an apparent end at the end of this month?
I'm very concerned. Like right now, I live about 25 kilometers out of Kamloops, and the speech therapies, they come up to our house 5 days a week and twice on Tuesdays, so we get about 24 hours a week. They're changing that now to 9 hours a week, which is 3 hours for 3 days a week. We have to drive to town every day, well, those 3 days, with my twin babies, and they arranged a new program now where it's in a group setting with six children.
And now, instead of him getting one-on-one speech therapy at home, is going to be in a group setting, and I just don't know how that's going to work out, how much attention he's actually going to get. I'm just scared that his progression in his language is going to slow down a fair bit.
How on earth do you do group speech therapy?
We're waiting to see.
That's just completely nonsensical. Wow. I didn't know that, Sam.
Like, I do believe the group sessions is good in one aspect because it will teach the children to interact with each other, but one-on-one therapy is, to me, is much more important than that at this point.
Yeah.
Now, Cher, you mentioned earlier FAIR. I gather you've organized under the name FAIR, Fighting Autism Intervention Reductions.
Yes.
What are some of the steps that you're going to take in the next few weeks?
Well, on February 1st, we have a vigil planned that will be taking place on the legislature steps, just basically mourning the loss of this program and mourning the loss of the future of these children. Just to try and do a visual impact, we really need people to email us at bcautism@gmail.com and you know, just request an email of where can I write a letter, who can I phone, what can I do. You know, the ministry is basing their decision on that people don't care, people don't have time, no one's going to step up. This decision will come and go, you know, we won't be held accountable for it because people are too tired and they can't be bothered. And we are betting that that's just not true. I'm betting that people who are listening to this radio show right now will go online and email bcautism@gmail.com and ask how they can help, because there are tangible things that they can do. And you know, for us, it's really hard to sit back and do nothing, right? We have to do everything we possibly can to make the government accountable for, you know, harming our children is what they're doing. So, yeah, so we have a vigil planned for February 1st, and that's at from 4:30 to 5:30 on the legislature steps, where we'll have candles and some stories.
Thank you.
By parents. So. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Cher. And that's bcautism@gmail.com. And the name of the group, the larger umbrella, FAIR, Fighting Autism Intervention Reductions. Thanks to both of you, Cher Sherwood and Samantha Warden, for taking the time to join us again today. And perhaps we can touch base in the next few weeks or months again to see how things are going for you both.
Absolutely. Anytime, Kevin.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cher Sherwood and Samantha Warden, mothers involved in protesting the British Columbia Liberal government's decision to cut funding to approximately 70 families whose autistic children have been involved in an initiative called the Early Intensive Behavioral Intervention Program.
And that program ends on January the 31st, 2010. I want to remind our listeners that we first spoke with Samantha Warden and with Cher Sherwood in October 2009, and that original interview is online at our webpage. You can find that webpage simply by Googling People First Radio.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society, CHLY, 101.7 FM, CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.